Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org. As I always tell you, both sites have a plethora of content. A lot of it is free. You don't necessarily have to buy the books to understand what we have to do. So listening to the show and downloading the content that I have on reclaimingtherepublic.org, you should have a clear understanding of what needs to be done. I have a real big surprise for you. We're getting into the New York ratification debates a little bit later on in the show, but you'll have to stay tuned. More importantly, I want to thank all of those who have been tuning in and continuing to tune in and sharing the content on this show with a lot of your friends. That is how we're growing. I really appreciate it. We can't do this movement. We can't save the Constitution without you. And with that, you are listening to the only show on air, whether that be TV, radio, even online. This is the only show that asserts the constitutional solution to getting the general government back into the framework of the Constitution. So with that, this is also a open talk line. You can always call in if you've got questions, you want to pontificate. But again, I have my three C's. Those three C's is, if you know me, please be confidential. So C, be confidential. The second C would be concise. Please be concise. As well as the third C, I will just ask you to be civil in addressing the issues, whether it be with me or with anybody. We don't need a bunch of foaming at the mouth, because that's not how we win friends and influence people. It's always applying the old honey rule, right? We want to be as sweet as possible. You attract more flies with honey than when you do with vinegar. Anyway, let me continue on. I also want you to know that this show is dedicated to supporting the election of state legislators who are willing to commit to protecting their citizens from federal tyranny and committing to the Constitution. I have those pledges online. If you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, go to the petition script, and you'll actually find the pledges. And I have the Idaho, I have the Oklahoma, and I have the Wyoming pledges. If you're a state legislator, download that pledge, sign it, and send it to me, and we will do everything we can in supporting you, as long as you understand those six actionable items that we are going to hold your feet to. Because as soon as you get into session, we will be calling you out if you're not doing those six action items. And so, and one builds upon the other, the next one builds upon, or I should say the first one starts and then they all build upon the first one. So anyway, apart from the dedication of putting this show basically highlighting the election of state legislators, we are also dedicating the show to the grassroots leaders in the county. If you're a county chair, if you're a county grassroots leader, which is the Tea Party, GOP central committees, and so forth, I am here to help you. I want to help you take control of your employees. And I consider these elected public servants your employees. They have to come to you for your endorsement. They're wearing your brand, your label. Therefore, you need to ensure that they are representing you and the brand that you expect them to be representing, which is a part of your platform, which needs to be centric on the Constitution. And so I can't emphasize this enough. I am here for you. And what this means is, by us supporting those grassroots leaders, as well as those who are seeking to protect their citizens from federal tyranny, what this means is I am supporting all people that are willing to support all of us and protecting all of us from federal tyranny. And so moving along, you know, my podcasts are out on reclaimingtherepublic.org. I have those three reasons why you need to download these. First off, this is the only show that's asserting the constitutional solution for federal overreach. Secondly, this content on this show refers to previous content. I build off of stuff. So you really need to stay abreast with these shows. So download these podcasts, get abreast, understand what you need to do, and start getting active. There's more than enough content for you to get started. Just start listening. And third, I don't make a penny off of your downloads and you listening. So don't worry about, I better not, because I don't want to help this guy. By all means, listen. I think if you're not on board yet, as you listen to the arguments, I think you'll eventually come on board. And the third reason is that the content on the show is not ephemeral, perishable, or temporary. It covers things in context to the Constitution, which I believe will never be temporary as long as we are willing to fight to protect and save this Constitution and our Republic. With that, I also point out that I do have that that video that goes into a 30-minute presentation on what Republic Review is and how it is the solution to the Constitution. I tell you, I get overwhelming results from patriots to watch that. And with that, I still have to scratch my head and go, why is this stuff not viral? Why is it that this is not being shared out with every like-minded patriot? There should be a million viewers to this if we have a million patriots or even more than that. I mean, look at how many people are voting. How many supposedly Republicans? Now, I granted, not all Republicans are necessarily, or those who vote Republican are truly patriots. But I'd like to think so. I'd like to think that. So anyway, if you need a suggestion of how you can get this video in the minds and eyes of as many people as possible, have a party. Tell them you're going to have a movie night and then you play the video. That way, you know, you can stimulate some conversation, maybe lose some friends. I don't know, but I will tell you that it's probably one of the most impactful videos that you will watch, because it'll give you a completely different perspective of the Constitution and what we need to do to save the Constitution. So I also want to put my plea out there and beg and plead. If you have money, then that's great. You can go ahead and contribute. I will also tell you that I would rather you save your money if you are willing to throw money at saving the Constitution. I'd rather you save it and throw it to those who are seeking office, because they are going to need financial support in advertising and competing against those they're challenging. We may be having to put some challengers into the Wyoming races. And so I'm going to ask you to kind of help and support these people, maybe even in Oklahoma. I've kind of tickled the fact that there may be something happening in Oklahoma. We'll see. I'm just kind of waiting. I don't want to make any presumptions. I want to make sure that I have something, you know, the bird in the hand metaphor kind of comes into mind here. Anyway, so if you have a computer and you're computer literate and you have resources like a phone or something like that, then you can definitely help me, because I could use the help. I am working way too hard and way too long a days, and I would really appreciate any help I can get. I also want you to know that, as I always do, I apply the due diligence. I scanned the news, and you know what? We've got the federal government standing down. I'm just kidding. There is no sign or news that the federal government is disbanding any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. And if you're thinking that they're ever going to, then you need to have a good cold hard cup of coffee and some reality with that coffee. I will, because it's summertime, you want to have it cold, right? I also want to tell you that we have to step in. It is our responsibility as citizens, because that oath is implied upon us to protect and defend the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic, which means that we have an obligation to do everything we possibly can to protect and save this constitutional republic. I think the framers were brilliant in instilling oaths and in creating the system that they did. And there's just no doubt in my mind, you can definitely see the divine hand of providence in almost every aspect of what has been done for us, that in these times and in these days, we have the ability to actually reach in and save this constitutional republic from literally off the precipice of failure. with that, I always have my standing question. And so I'm going to put it out there. If you want to call and if you want a good reason to call, I'm trying to give you one reason here. And I am just asking that if anybody knows what or where in the Constitution the federal government has been granted the authority by the states to create and manage land for reservations of any kind, whether that be reservations for trees, whether that be reservations for little creatures, grass blades, whether that be for people, cultures, or what have you, please show me in the Constitution where the federal government has this authority to manage and take and manage these lands. I'm going to challenge you on that, of course, if you call, but you may actually have the clarity to be able to tell me where that is or where that isn't. Anyway, as I always say, we have this Red Pill Expo, and I won't be able to say this after June 21st. The Red Pill Expo starts June 21st and goes to June 23rd. I would highly recommend you getting your tickets. This is a big event. I would tell you to look at the names that are going to be on there. There's going to be great opportunities in hearing and understanding all sorts of things from the spectrum of probably land investments as well as what you need to do and be aware of in the Agenda 21 fight, because I know Tom DeWeese is going to be speaking. I know that Trevor Lawton is going to be speaking about the infiltration of communism in America, as well as the infiltration of communism in the churches. And so these are all going to be great opportunities to meet these people as well as listen to what they have to say. It's worth it for 3 days if you look at the cost. I just ask you to compare that to concerts or what have you. Well, with that, I can tell you that I'm up at a hard break, and so I will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Did you know your overall health is connected to your dental health? As you get older, this becomes more and more important. If you're like me, going to the dentist can be terrifying. So for me to maintain my dental and overall health, I need a great dentist and staff who are sensitive to my fear, pain, and even my fear of the cost of dental work. This is why it took me almost 2 years to find a great dentist after moving into this area. Bottom line, I need a great dentist just to get into the chair, even for a regular cleaning. This is why I personally recommend Dr. Vaughn Tracy as not only a great dentist, but a great patriot and a dentist who cares about your comfort and health. You can find him at VaughnTracyDDS.com. That's VaughnTracyDDS.com. Then you can agree with me, it's great to have a great dentist. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I'm trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process,
process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
And as you know, I've got a promotion out there about supporting businesses who support conservative constitutional principles. And I also talk about not supporting businesses who do not support constitutional principles. And some of those businesses are actually outright supporting social justice. Well, one of those multi-billion dollar businesses was in the news today, and that's the NFL. And they actually came out with a no-kneeling ruling. And I find it interesting that some of the owners actually abstained from voting due to a backlash in either direction. And so apparently they didn't want to offend those who are actually paying for the billions of dollars that they're making, as well as they didn't want to necessarily offend those who are playing. But I really don't care. I look at the NFL as a parasite that is literally supporting policies, ideologies, and so forth that is harmful to individual liberty and individual sovereignty, especially in context to social justice. That's what they want. Then they can get all the money from their fellow social justice warriors. I think good patriots should stop supporting anybody that is supporting social justice. Moving on, I will tell you that based on how things are starting to pan out, I honestly believe we may have historic, and I mean historic precedents over, you know, ancient Rome, Greece, and all of these other societies to the level and magnitude of corruption that is starting to come out of Washington, D.C. And it's not just Washington, D.C., folks. This is going into Russia. This is a global level of corruption. I mean, there are so many players, and evil players at that, that are doing all sorts of evil things, from human trafficking, and they're kind of all hiding behind this. I mean, the Democrats have been exposed as being supporters of this, as well as not doing anything and actually promoting it. I find it interesting that we're now with Trump, we're now actually seeing actionable efforts going after human trafficking, sex slaves, and those types of things in America. And I think that that is laudable, but I think it is sad that under the Obama administration and in every previous administration, it has been lip service. And to me, that tells you something, that if they're really not, you know, you judge them by their works, right? Is that not what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to look at what a person is actually doing, not by what they're saying. And so I will just leave it at that, that I think it is very important that we start looking at who does the lip service and who does, you know, all the duck and cover and everything else. And you'll find that those who I identify with, follow, and support the ideology of subjugation, slavery, which are the Democrats, the socialists, the communists, those types of people, then they're the ones that are trying to evade and not trying to be accountable for their repugnant things that are happening, because they actually support these things. I mean, if you're not actually fighting it, and it's ironic that you'll find these people over on the left that, you know, whether they be blacks, whether they be Democrats, it doesn't matter. Whoever's over on the left on that side, regardless of their demographics, they like to point out about how evil the framers were, that they owned slaves. No. The framers were so radical that they were willing to give up slavery, and many of them did, to their own peril, like George Washington and so forth. But I am telling you that they found it repugnant. They fought everything they possibly could in the Constitutional Convention to disband and get rid of slavery. If you want to blame anybody, blame those representatives that were from Carolinas and Georgia, because those are the three states that claimed that they had to have slavery. And so it was an unfortunate political compromise, but I am telling you that it is a paradox to find anybody on the left making those types of condescending comments when you can find that well behind the left and the things that are happening behind the left is only trying to propel us back into slavery and actually supporting global slavery, whether that be sex trafficking. And if you didn't know, Africa, slavery is on the rise in Africa and the Middle East again. And it's all been happening under the globalist watch. I will just leave it at that. I just find it a great paradox that if you want something to be able to poke in a leftist's eye, then you can bring up the slavery issue and say, at least our framers were honest and did everything they could to get rid of it. I think Jefferson was coined with saying that we have the wolf by the ears. We can no longer hold it or let it go, because obviously he was aware of the fact that the racial divide that was coming from these, what, 100 and some years of slavery was going to become a problem. That's why it was his plan to repatriate as many free blacks as possible. That's why Liberia exists today. And that's why Monrovia is called after James Monroe, who was the one that actualized Jefferson's plan of repatriating blacks so that they would have a free and an opportunity to have equal footing as everybody, because they knew that there would be problems with that. These men were brilliant. They understood things that everybody else takes for granted, as well as they understood things that the left do not want you to believe or understand. One more thing on this, and if you want to understand the historical precedents on how far back this corruption goes, I would ask you to look into something known as the Vernona Project. Vernona Project. That was a project that was done by the NSA under, and it was the very beginning of one of its first projects under FDR. And I think you'll be blown away to find out that the corruption was well alive and running the deep state back then, because the impetus behind that, or the drive behind the Vernona Project, was trying to find the active KGB agents in the United States at the time. And you'd be surprised at where and some of those people were, as well as some of the other things was flushing out, such as the global banking and all of that. I'm not sure if you heard, but there's this right to try bill that the FDA is trying to basically get through that allows people to try something for their own benefit. And I have to laugh at this, because where in the Constitution does the government have any jurisdiction over any drugs, or to dictate what is a good drug and what isn't a bad drug? Did the states delegate that to me? Did that happen last night while I was sleeping? No, they've been usurping authority for years and years and years. And that is just another one of the multitude of powers, roles, and responsibilities they've stolen from the states. Now, if the states want to have a centralized standard of drugs and those types of things, and they want the federal government to do that, they have to amend the Constitution. But I'm going to tell you, I highly recommend against it. The states would be better off creating their own commission that would seek after their best interest instead of supporting globalists and corporations, even though those entities will still try to penetrate the states in doing this. But I will tell you that we will be closer to it and have better checks and better controls over it by keeping it at the state level or within a state commission, vice the federal government. In addition, the Supreme Court also weighed in on a bathroom ruling, and basically ruling in favor of a transgender being able to use the bathroom of their choice. And apparently this was the Supreme Court, and I'm having a hard time understanding where the Constitution does the federal government have the jurisdiction over what is to be used for a bathroom and what isn't to be used, and whether the use of a bathroom, whether it is acceptable or not, is a civil right. So how did that ever come to be? Please keep in mind that the Civil Rights Act is an act, not an amendment. And as noble and nice as it is, the federal government can police itself on civil rights. But until we amend the Constitution and dictate those types of things very specifically, they have no jurisdiction outside the seat of government and outside the federal government's reach, if that makes sense. If that doesn't make sense, I'll explain it to you more. But bottom line, the federal government has no business telling a state or any school board in any state what they have to do regarding civil rights, period. I'm not sure if you also heard, but there was talk about China using a sonic weapon just like what was in Cuba. Isn't it amazing that our enemies are sharing this technology? And the question is, when is it and or where is it when we will be developing or talking about these similar types of weapon systems using sound? Because they're basically telling people to be very cautious of when you hear things, and they're finding out that they're using that same technology in China. I'm not surprised, are you? Well, I have a lot more. We're going to get into the ratification debates as soon as we get back, so please stay tuned, and we will talk about Hamilton and what he said shortly after the break. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VONTRACYDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Let me go back to that that last, because I touched on that earlier about social justice. And I find it sad that so many people believe in this, oh, well, if we support this, it'll give us an advantage, our particular demographic, whether we be a minority, a gender, or what have you. And don't believe that, folks. If you think you're going to have an advantage when the globalists take power and knock down the only protection of your rights of freedom of speech, your rights of freedom of assembly, freedom of expression, religious expression, and all of your privileges and immunities that are guaranteed by our Constitution, the day that document is set aside and shredded because those in power in Washington, D.C. are working and the globalists are working every day to set it up so that it can be set aside and discarded. And the day that happens, you will be fodder just like the rest of us because it doesn't, they don't care. They only care about control. They only care about their power. And if you think you might have an edge or an opportunity, the only way you will have an opportunity and or edge with them is you have to be the monkey on the string dancing to their tune. And if you want, if you have no self-respect and that's what you want to do, then just understand who you're serving. And the master has no mercy and has no justice, no system of justice and not the rule of law. It is arbitrary, just like tyranny. And so I will move on. I want to let you know that I'm really coming close. I'm going to be having some content providers on Patriot Soapbox, and they're a YouTube channel, and they are a news service. They're an open, raw news service, and I'm going to have them come on. We're going to have their different subject matter experts kind of talk about the different types of things that they're providing in content. And we're actually going to have them provide a small little segment of news that will be a part of this show because I think it's important that people start hearing some good news and some of the things that's going on that you are not hearing in your regular news. If you didn't know, our news agencies here in the Republic as well as around the world are not credible. They are propaganda machines. They are owned and controlled by the globalists, and that is it. And if you don't think that it is everywhere, look at what's going on in Wyoming, the reddest state of America in a flyover state. They're controlling the narrative in little radios and newspapers and so forth. I am absolutely amazed that it has gotten to that level to where even the newspapers in Wyoming are milling forward the progressive agenda. So we're hoping to have a kind of like a standard or a schedule for the Patriot Soapbox news to start coming in, and you'll be getting exposed to that hopefully in the next couple of weeks. Because I think it's really important that you get exposed to this type of information. As I always say, if we're not using the Constitution to fight our battles, then we risk almost certainty in losing these battles. If the Constitution is not our defense and our weapon, we will lose. And so I just want to focus on that. And as we know, I want to change gears a little bit because I told you I'm going to get into the Federalist Papers, and I've got a few comments, and actually it's kind of interesting, but I've got the anti-federalist and federalist kind of set up. I've got a couple of quotes for you, so I'm going to read those. But I want to get into this content again, or this actual concept of a federation. Do you know what a federation is? What is a federation? A federation is a sovereign body. Now, a federation is given sovereignty over very specific things. Do we have a federation? Is the United States a federation of states, or is it a confederation of states? Because most people don't know, and they think, oh, well, I hear federal government, so we must have a federation. A federation means that it has the majority of sovereignty and that the states have basically delegated all things to them, and the states have become an administrative being or entity within a republic or a federation republic. That's not what we have. That was Madison's original plan when Virginia, it was called the Virginia Plan, when the Constitutional Convention started. But that was wholeheartedly rejected. So this concept of having a federation or a centralized government of all things, and that the states are the whipping boys and girls of the federal government, that is not true. So what is a confederation? Well, a confederation is a body of states where they delegate very limited powers to a general government, also called a federal government. But the states or those bodies within the confederation retain almost all of their sovereignty other than those that were delegated to that general government. That is the type of constitutional republic that we have. We actually have, and that's why I most people don't realize that we actually have a hybrid constitutional republic, because we have a confederation in addition to the federal government, and we also have a body of people at in each state that hold the sovereignty over each state. It's interesting, but I just want you to understand that when people start referring to our government as a democracy, I believe everybody that is hearing my voice knows that that is an outright lie and a misnomer, that we are a republic, and a republican form of government means we're a representative form of government. But getting into the Constitutional Convention again, Roger Sherman brought forth the plan that was the called the Connecticut Compromise, or was the compromise of recognizing the sovereigns. And those sovereigns were, and that's why they created a bicameral legislative body. And that's why every state has bicameral legislative bodies, because they recognized that the state itself had a level of sovereignty that had been delegated or basically surrendered by the citizens of those states. And that's the same thing as a constituent to the Senate. So that's why the Senate was the body that represented those sovereigns or the states. The House of Representatives are the representatives of the people, recognizing again that the people of every state have their own interests and wanted to make sure that those interests were represented. And they understood also that the interests of the states that are along the ocean will be different than the states that will be on the interior and in the mountains and so forth. Madison didn't think that the Constitution would survive 50 years because he thought that the differences between the states, from the mountainous states to the shore states, would be so great that they would probably just dissolve this Constitution. So I think it's really important that I kind of help set that stage, and I want to get into these ratification debates, but I also want you to understand that when Adams and Jefferson, Madison, and others referred to the Republic after the ratification of the Constitution, they did not refer to the Republic as a federation. And as a matter of fact, if you read Jefferson's inauguration, I think it was his first or one of his State of the Union addresses, he called for, you know, his state or his nation, the state of Virginia, as a nation, as well as he missed his nation, as well as the states collectively as a confederation. So just so you know, it's important to understand that we are not just a centralized body that is being dictated by Washington, D.C. Now, so as I get into these ratification debates, and we'll have to get into them in the next segment because I'm almost out, I always like to go through this as a precursor. Are the words in our founding documents that I am citing and I'm going to read today the words of deceit? Or are the words that we have been taught from our progressive education system, the progressive colleges and lawyers and professors, politicians and bureaucrats, are the words that we've received from these folks the words of deceit? I will let you decide, but I already know that the framers had the integrity and they meant exactly what they said, and that's why they had incredible careers that withstood the test of time. Madison was probably the greatest in maintaining a level of integrity in every position that he's held. And so when we get back, we're going to start off with some Hamilton, and we'll get into some other comments in the ratification of New York's ratification debates. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
And before I get into the ratification debates, I'm sorry, I'm not teasing you, but I kind of want to point out, I've talked about this before, and when people hear this this promotion on Republic Review and that it's not a convention of states, I want you to understand that the dangers of the convention have really nothing to do with a lot of the organizations that are talking about a runaway convention and so forth. Most of those entities out there, fear mongering is a very powerful tool because it kind of engrosses people because it's playing on your fear. The real dangers of the convention of states and applying and convening an Article 5 convention is not about a runaway convention. I do not lose sleep over that. I lose sleep over the fact that we have only so much time. Time is so finite
that if we allow them to convene an Article 5 convention, it will. There is no end to this machine. They are going to create a separate entity that will be, they're going to try to create a perpetual convention because that is their design. That's why they won't commit to any timeline. They were able, the framers were able to create this constitution in just a matter of months. As a matter of fact, next week on the 27th, and actually I think, that'll be on a Sunday, so I won't be doing my show, but that's the day they convened the convention. It was the 17th of September when they actually signed the constitution and closed the convention. And these folks want to create a perpetual convention. And so they don't realize that budgets don't span years. They won't be able to get the funding from every state to be able to do this. So then that will start to cause wrinkles and other problems to where this thing is going to fail. We only have so much time, folks. So why even consider putting something in front of the audit and Republic review, especially when it's not designed to succeed like the audit? The audit can go forward and be done in a matter of a couple of months. I'm sorry, that was not a slip of the tongue. It was just a hiccup. But anyway, the fact of the matter is that when we convene this audit, when one state starts this audit, the only thing that needs to be done by the other states is they basically validate and check the veracity of what has been done. They don't have to necessarily redo everything. Only those states, like the progressive states, want to come in and challenge that, but they're going to have a hard time challenging it because the Constitution is the measure. And if you ain't got an Article 5 amendment that grants the federal government the ability to have an EPA and all of these other things, folks, then it's not on the table for keeping. Now, if you can muster up 38 states that says we want them to continue to do that, well, then the progressive states need to figure out how to start playing nice, being friendly, and so forth. And I'm telling you, folks, the red states, the majority of the states are going to say, sorry, goodbye. We're going to keep this and we're going to move this down to the state level. So you can do everything and everything you want to do with that. So that is the number one danger. And a second danger behind this is not only the loss of time, but the contract law or the application of contract law called collateral estoppel, where you only have really one shot to go after your subcontractor. And that subcontractor is the federal government. And so I believe that there will be a plea from these blue states that when the Article 5 fails, they're going to say, oh, you guys already had your shot. You couldn't do it. So that's it. You don't get any more shots. Now, that doesn't play when it comes to the Republic. But I believe that there will be a lot of legal dancing and posturing and even political legal posturing to try to stop this audit. That is why it is dangerous. It has nothing to do with this runaway convention concept. I don't buy into that because I believe that there are way too many states that will stop and the progression of any evil. And remember, it only takes 13 states to say, sorry, you can't do that. So anyway, back into the Federalist Papers. The interesting thing about the New York Federalist Papers is I really don't have any really pithy quotes like I have from the Virginia, like when Madison says, the powers of the federal government are enumerated. It can only operate in certain cases. Its legislative powers are on defined and limited objects beyond which it cannot extend its jurisdiction. I mean, those are nice, strong, little pithy comments. And I have not been able to extrapolate things like that out of the New York ratification debates, but I do have some very good comments. This one is from Hamilton, and this is what he says. He says, it has been remarked that there are inconsistencies in our admitting that the equal vote in the Senate would given to secure the rights of the states, and at the same time holding up the idea that their interests should be sacrificed to those of the Union. But the committee certainly perceived the distinction between the rights of a state and its interest. The rights of a state are defined by the Constitution. It cannot be invaded without a violation of it. But the interests of a state have no connection with the Constitution and may be, in 1,000 instances, constitutionally sacrificed. A uniform tax is perfectly constitutional, and yet it may operate oppressively upon certain members of the union. The gentlemen are afraid that the state governments will be abolished, but sir, their existence does not depend upon the state government. Yeah, does not depend upon the laws of the United States. Congress can no more abolish the state governments than they can dissolve the union. The whole Constitution is repugnant to it, and yet the gentleman would introduce an additional useless provision against it. It is proper that the influence of the states should prevail to a certain extent, but shall the individual states be the judges how far? Shall an unlimited power be left them to determine to their own favor? The gentlemen go into the extreme instead of a wise government that would from a fantastical utopia. But, sir, while they give it a plausible popular shape, they would render it impracticable. Much has been said about factions. As far as my observation has extended, factions in Congress have arisen from an attachment to state prejudices. We are attempting by this Constitution to abolish factions and unite all parties for the general welfare. That a man should have the power in private life of recalling his agent is proper because in the business in which he is engaged, he has no other object but to gain the approbation of his principal. Is this the case with the senator? It is simple. The state, is he simply the agent of the state? No, he is an agent for the union. He is bound to perform services necessary for the good of the whole through his state, which should condemn them. And Hamilton, as you can tell, he kind of dances around. He doesn't get into concise. In other words, during these ratification debates, he was writing all of these different notes, and he was interweaving against these different arguments from these different people. Hamilton was really, if you look, there were only three strong Federalists up in New York. Livingston was another one. I forget who the other one was, but I will give you that information. But Hamilton was the champion. He was the one similar to Madison. But Madison had a lot of champions down in Virginia. He had Nicholas. He had Randolph. There was himself and others that were basically championing. Marshall, John Marshall was one who, that's why I point out that John Marshall was a very devious person, just like Hamilton. Because in the ratification debates, they clearly spoke about how limited the federal government was. But as soon as Marshall and Hamilton, because they were friends, I don't know if you knew this, but Marshall and Hamilton worked together in the Revolutionary War in the army underneath George Washington. And that was one of the reasons why Hamilton had Washington's favor. That's why he was appointed to the Secretary of Treasury. And so when Hamilton and Marshall started working together with the Supreme Court, before Hamilton was basically killed by Aaron Burr in that duel, that infamous duel, he had already had Marshall on board with self-aggrandizing the self-court or the Supreme Court and usurping many of the state's roles, responsibilities, and powers by creating these unconstitutional footings in asserting that the federal government can do anything and everything that it feels and it deems necessary and proper, and it can do anything because it is supreme in all things, which Marshall knew in the ratification debates that that was a lie, that the Constitution was defined and limited, and these were the only powers, and that's why he even said that. So which Marshall do we believe, the Supreme Court jurist, or do we believe the Marshall that was selling the Constitution during the ratification debates? And that same question applies with Hamilton. Hamilton was a very brilliant man. He was the most literate of the framers as far as Washington was concerned, and I can see his dubiousness and his duplicity that as he applied his arguments back and forth. We're out of time. I'm G.R. Mobley. This is Reclaiming the Republic, and with your help, we will reclaim the Republic. God bless. See you tomorrow. And as you know, we just let all those radio stations go because it's a 53-50 schedule. So tomorrow, I'm going to be getting into more and more
of the ratification debates with New York and kind of giving you some comparisons with the Virginia. There are some other really good ratification debates, but there's very little documentation of those. One of the most heated was the Pennsylvania, but they don't have a lot of those documents. I have to actually go over to, I think, the University of Wisconsin, where I think they have most of those online. And you can only get through them one page at a time. So I need somebody to bequeath me or donate those volumes to me so I can provide those to you, because I'd love to do that. But with that, I am out of time. And tomorrow we will get into more of the ratification debates. God bless, and we are reclaiming the Republic together. Thank you so much.